Good evening, everyone. Mine's on.
We're good.
Okay. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231 PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 2nd, 2018, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was mailed to the Times and the Asbury Park Press, and this is the meeting of September 24th, 2018. Roll call.
And I'm just going to say, I'm not sure if you said it, the time in was 7:11. Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Parker?
Here.
Ms. Sheehan? She's absent. Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. So for tonight, can I have a motion to go out of order? We're going to start with committee reports first instead of near the end because I believe that Joe has a pretty extensive report or
not extensive, but important
information.
Information.
And Mike does as well. And I think it would be good to hear both of those reports before we go to the bond hearing again and bond discussion.
I'd like to make a motion to change the order of business for the committee reports to come first.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
So we come to committee reports. Community Development Code Enforcement, Councilman Parker.
So I got a lot of information from Jeff for the libraries, so I still have to hash that out. And I guess so next meeting I'll come back with and I'll call the people I got a call for that. So for that, I'm pausing now. But thank you for all that information. So that's it for code enforcement.
Good. Okay, environmental health and safety. Councilwoman Sheehan is absent tonight. Finance. Councilman Hamilton.
Okay, I've included a copy of the finance report for this meeting. I think it's also available to the public as well as the council. I just wanted to go over a few items here because I think it may be relevant in terms of the ordinance that, again, is on the agenda for tonight's meeting. Also on the agenda for tonight's meeting is action related to the borough engineer's recommendation to apply for DOT road funding for Farm Lane. Again, it's the time of the year where we have to decide what roads we want to apply for funding, and Carmela Roberts has recommended Farm Lane for a number of reasons, because it needs work, and if you've been down to the lower end of Farm Lane, you can see where it really needs work. She thinks it has a good chance of getting funding for the entire road in one shot, which would be a significant DOT grant, which would be great. Also, it connects with County Highway, a senior facility. Well, not senior, it's a low-income facility, actually, and also a U.S. post office, too. So it has a good chance of getting funding for the entire road. So that's on the agenda for tonight to approve Carmela Roberts and Roberts Associates to apply for DOT road funding for Farm Lane. Also, I just want to let people know that we're going to be replacing the roof and gutters on the DPW building. Were they saying the beginning of next month? Do you know if there's any timeline? Yeah, from what I heard, it was the beginning of October, so within the next few weeks. So people may have to watch parking and all, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of activity and shingles and things being tossed into a dumpster, that kind of thing. After that's done, after the roof and gutters are completed on the DPW building, there's a plan in the works to repair the walls in the building that was damaged when it was hit by a fire truck a couple years ago. The lowest quote that we received was from Grondyke of East Windsor at $12,500. No claim was originally filed 2 years ago when that accident occurred. We filed a claim not too long ago. This council did. We received a check for $10,000. So we're going to be using that $10,000 to defer the cost of the $12,500, so I think a borough share, to have that building in in really excellent shape, it would be around $2,500, which is a relative bargain. And again, that building is will be, you know, in good shape, and it's being used now. It's being well used, and it's good to have that back in shape.
Mike, can I just add in also, that was, we were really lucky because we filed this claim 6 years after the damage. So I have to say it's kind of impressive on the insurance company's end that they were willing to do that for us, and it was a lot of hard work on Anna Debevic's part, who went to bat for us to try to get the claim through.
Yeah, I don't know why the claim wasn't filed originally, but we did it, and we did get $10,000 through Jeff. So that's great. That's going to help a lot with the cost of that. Our CFO provided us with a summary of water and sewer ordinances going back, I guess, to 2004. And they're by ordinance number, what it was used for, and the amount of the ordinance. I thought it would be good for people to see the record of ordinances that were passed to provide funding to keep our water and sewer systems fully operational as far back as 14 years ago. And there were quite a few funding ordinances that were passed, and they're all for water or sewer utility improvements. I just wanted to note that if you look at the list from the document entitled Borough of Roosevelt Water Sewer Utility Capital Fund Statement, you'll see that in the 3 years from 2004 through 2007, and I guess that's the first four ordinances, the council passed ordinances totaling $384,000 for water and sewer system repairs. If you look at the few years past that, actually, 2009, the council passed a $565,000 funding ordinance for water system repairs to the water tank and to replace water system components. And then again, if you look at the 2 years from 2000, or a little over 2 years from 2011 through 2013, you'll see one, two, three, four ordinances that were passed for funding for water and sewer utility improvements. And they totaled $1.8 million. And again, it's for keeping our systems running and operational, repairing leaks, making upgrades to systems, to water and sewer utility systems. And in 2016, the council passed more than $338,000 in funding ordinances. And I thought it's good to take a look at that and see what the history of our past history in terms of funding capital improvements and repairs for our water sewer utility system. We really don't have any choice but to go out and pass ordinances and then try to get funding for them. On the agenda for second reading and public hearing, again, is an ordinance to provide funding so that we can continue to keep our water and sewer system in good repair, as is evidenced by the history of the funding ordinances that we've done over the years. I think it's important for the public to note that we anticipate only needing about half of the amount that's in the ordinance that's on the floor for vote tonight in public hearing, or around $350,000 to replace the water mains. And this is because we should be able to qualify for a state nano loan program. It's specifically designed for really small communities like us, which don't have the money necessarily to do the infrastructure repairs because, as you can see, it's very costly. And again, part of that program is they'll pay up to half the principal. So it's actually kind of like a grant. You know, instead of needing $700,000, you need $350,000. And the rest of it will be financed at a really attractive interest rate at 1%. So anybody who's financed or refinanced a home recently will know that rates are down, but they're not down to that level of 1%. They're down probably between 3 and 4%, somewhere in that range. So we've been approved for the NANO program whenever we've applied for it before. And so we certainly anticipate being approved for this program if this ordinance is approved to continue to repair our water and sewer utility systems. I also wanted to add, as part of the finance report, that our borough engineer, our CFO, our auditor, and professionals from other towns who we've contacted have recommended replacing water mains as needed when road work is done, because it saves money and provides as little disruption in service as possible to homeowners. Previous councils have applied for funding to repair sewer lines and replace sewer lines where it's really needed, like along Tamara and North Rochdale. I think it's been discussed at meetings before that these are areas that really need, there's a lot of I&I there, inflow and infiltration, and a lot of unnecessary treatment of actually rainwater at the sewer treatment plant. They put in for funding for that, and it's a relatively small section of North Rochdale and also Tamara. And I asked the borough engineer, what would that cost in terms of today's dollars if we were to carry out that plan and go for the areas that really need improvement for and replace those sewer lines first. Her estimate based on real costs today was a little over $1,050,000 to just do those small sections along Tamara and also on North Rochdale. And there's a number of reasons why the cost is so high. Some of the reasons are because we don't have road grants to tear up those roads or to patch them up again when the repairs would be done. So we'd have to fund that out of pocket. Also, because it's sewer line replacement, it doesn't qualify for the NANO program for half of the principal being reduced. You pay full cost for sewer lines. They're only funding and doing that that deduction, that 50% off, essentially, for water system improvements. So it would be costly if we did go and look at areas, and I think it makes sense logically, you know, look for the areas that need to be repaired. You just have to be prepared to pay the cost for that if you don't have corresponding road grant money, and also if you don't have a loan program from the state that will help subsidize the principal. So that could be done, but it would just be really costly. And again, so I think people ought to consider the fact that I think we're in a perfect situation. I've never seen, and I've been on this public body off and on for over, I guess, close to 20 years now, 18 years, I've never seen the rates this low, 1% interest. You just don't see that. And then when the state says we're going to pay for half of the cost of water system improvements, it's never been that low. I have a feeling, and I talked to Jerry Stankiewicz, our auditor, today. He said he has a feeling that a lot of municipalities are going to be applying for this program. He knows of one that's out of water system improvement money. And they're very anxious to get approvals for their water system repairs. He said that he thinks that this may be a very limited kind of program, that they could run out of funding for it. So I would really strongly encourage that we take advantage of the low interest rates. And since we know we have to do these repairs on 82-year-old pipes, and we know the condition of the pipes they're pretty bad, both the water and the sewer lines, that I think we ought to take advantage of the capital programs that are out there with the state. It just makes a lot of sense, and to do it along with road work so you don't have to pay out of pocket for excavating the roads and then also repairing it and patching it up afterwards. I just thought it was interesting to look at the history of ordinances, to look at what we've done in the past, and it shows that we have gone and taken care of a lot of water and sewer system improvements as we needed it, and of course because we don't have a lot of free money in that very limited water sewer utility account. Essentially, you have to borrow it, and you borrow it when the rates are the most attractive, which I think are now. So, but it's interesting to look at the history of the ordinances that were passed and what they were for, and how much money is spent. It's a lot of money. It costs a lot of money to keep the infrastructure in good repair, but I think we owe it to our taxpayers and our ratepayers to keep on going on with this kind of program and improving things as we go along. It just makes a lot of sense to me. Again, nobody wants to raise water, sewer, utility rates, but nobody wants sewer lines to back up into their house either. That's probably even worse than paying the high rates. And you know, it has to be done. It's just a matter of when do you want to do it? Do you want to do it now? You want to do it later? How do you want to go about it? To me, it makes a lot of sense to do it now when the rates are really low, and when all the financing charges are as low as they've ever been, and before you run out of funding on it. So that's essentially the end of the report, and I'm open to comments on it too, because I think it's enlightening when you look at the ordinances. I didn't know how much we had spent. I didn't know we spent over $3 million in the last 14 years to repair water and sewer utilities. But we have, and we've kept after it. So it's not as if we've totally neglected the water and sewer utility system. We've repaired things as we've gone along. It's costly, but, you know, what are you going to do? You have to repair it, and you don't have the money in free balance, so you have to borrow it. End of report.
Thank you. Public Works, Councilmember Bowen.
The only thing I have to report is Greg's been painting the building we're in.
How? It's pouring all the time.
I haven't looked at it, so I don't know where he's at in terms of progress so far. And Dave's been prepping the sewer plant for getting it ready to be painted down there as well. So.
Good.
Looks like painting is the number one priority right now. That's all.
Thanks, Steve. Okay, utilities, Councilmember Trammell.
That'd be me.
It's you.
Okay. I appreciate the work that Jerry and Mike and everybody have done about the cost of preserving the water and sewer systems over the years. So one point is, if we spent almost $3.5 million in the past 10 to 12 years, if we had to do that again for the next 10 to 12 years, we're not going to be able to do that. So any time we spend money now, we should really be aware of what we're spending and what we spend it on, and really pick it over and try to do as much as we can to keep it as low as possible. The aluminum beams at the wastewater, the sewer plant, have been installed, and the large sodium aluminate tanks are in place now. And Mike Lyons and his crew were busy taking the sodium aluminate out of the barrels that they put it in and reinstalling it into the new tanks there. So that's moving right along. As some of you know, I've been 50-50, half and half, about this whole bond issue here. And through Mary, East Windsor Township Sewage Authority. Richard Brand was nice enough to get his guy Clark from the Sewage Authority over there to send a couple of trucks out. It was going to be done on Yom Kippur. We definitely moved it to the day after for good reason. The streets were full of cars on Yom Kippur. So they showed up 8, 9 in the morning on Thursday last week and finished off about 10, 11 o'clock. And it was an eye-opening experience. They did the part of Homestead that would be repaved. They did Elm Court and Cedar Court. The good news is that Cedar Court, well, not so good, but Cedar Court's got a 6-inch pipe feeding into a 4-inch pipe, so they could clean it, but they couldn't televise it. But I believe from these maps that we have here that Cedar, we're not sure. I'm not sure if that's a clay pipe or if that's a PVC pipe. The one on Elm Court is clear. It's a PVC all the way, and that has been replaced in the past. When they got to Homestead, that's where we're at the head end of the original sewer system here, and I was hoping against hope that it would be the cleanest pipes in town. However, as they crawled along from the triangle all the way to around the synagogue, There were cracks in every joint. The pipes are in 3-foot sections all the way through. They are clay pipes. There were cracks all the way through. There were roots in mass on some of the cracks. Where the pipes were joined and where the laterals came in, there were roots hanging down like mops. So it was almost impossible to get the televised, the robot through. They first go through with a pig, they call it, and they drag it through, and they jet high-pressure water. So they clean the system, and then they put the little robot through, and you can see the system. They gave me a disc. I gave them a flash drive, and they downloaded the videos, which is in the office now, and I called Carmela and advised her that it's here. It's not something you can just email back and forth. It's a couple of gigabytes. So there were cracks everywhere. There were roots, small roots here and there, but I personally observed a couple of situations where the roots really covered the entire inner diameter of the pipes. They were jetted clean, and the robot could get through, but it was a little effort to get the robot through because it had to climb through, like, again, a mop hanging down, and the mop was all roots. I have seen in people's houses where they have had their sewer line cleaned because it was clogged, and then they televised it, and where the lateral met the main, there were roots there, and I was surprised, but apparently roots find their way into these systems, and that's what happens. There were also some crumbling pipes, a couple where the laterals met the main, and a couple that the pipe itself was just giving way. So, again, I've been 50-50 about this whole thing. This bond here does not cover anything about the sewer, but I know from firsthand experience now that the pipes are in pretty bad shape all through the town. So I'll probably go ahead and vote for this bond issue, and I was really on the fence about it all this time. I am not prepared in the next 10 years, hopefully I won't be on the council then, to spend another $3.5 million to take care of the system, but we have to start somewhere. The water pipes and the sewer pipes, and I don't think, I talked to Carmela, she said it would be about $1 million to do the sewer pipes there, so I don't think we're going to do them anytime soon. But if we're going to dig the roads up and replace the water pipes, I would like to see what condition these water pipes are in, because this, again, is at the head of the system. This is the closest mains to the water tower itself. So they should be automatically flush because most of the water in town is going through that particular section of pipe. And if we dig those pipes up and replace them, then we're going to know the best situation for the water pipes in town. And if it comes to be like the sewer pipes are, we got to do something about this. So we're going to have to start thinking about a long-term plan for the entire town, especially after we see these pipes when they come up. So it's not much of a report, but we do have firsthand information that the sewer pipes are really bad and the best part of the town for the sewer pipes. And if the water pipes are the same, then, you know, we have to act. That's my report. Cha-cha-cha.
Thank you, John.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Sure.
Some of the sewer lines where they meet the laterals are in really bad shape. Should homeowners be informed that?
I personally would have to look at the footage. I mean, because from this manhole 200 feet down is a lateral, let's say. So whose house is that in front of? We'd have to walk out there with the measurer and figure it out. I don't see that it's a real problem for the homeowner because it's a wide open expanse.
Okay.
You know, and it's leaking into the ground, and it's picking up groundwater. And if this is the case, that's the sewer pipes is where a lot of our INI is going to come from.
Yeah,
if there are cracks all through there, if there are roots hanging there, dripping water into the sewer pipe, if there's an opening between the lateral and the main itself, water's going to come in from groundwater.
Yeah.
So
what happened to Dave Curtis that cost him $5,000?
That was a water pipe. That was not a sewer pipe. And that was on his property,
and it
from the street, I thought, from the, went from the street.
Well,
to
it's
the
lateral
south,
from,
yeah.
Yeah, but it's was that was actually due to bad repairs. I saw that myself. There was really what they did to fix it. Whenever they fixed it, was not
up
probably not legal and not good, not up to code. How's that?
Okay.
So it was just a mess there.
So I have a question.
Yep.
So if, with this new information about the sewer line on Homestead, I mean, so what happens with the bond if you move ahead to replace the pipes? Don't you also need some money in
well,
order to replace the sewer line?
At this point, the water gets done, and the sewer lines do not get done. And whether or not the sewer lines could be repaired by sleeving them through the manholes, I don't know. Now that I've seen this, this was just last Thursday, my plate's been full since then. So the sleeving where they pull the sleeve through and blow it up, maybe that would work without ripping the road up. I don't know. I'll have to find out about that. You know. So.
And all the old pipes are clay?
Yep, as far as I know. Yep.
Terracotta.
But
terracotta.
There's been a number of them that have been replaced with PVC.
Yeah, we have a map of the ones that have been replaced.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're starting to find stuff.
So that would be
know.
A question, too. When was that done?
They're
replacing sewer pipes.
Yeah.
But you didn't replace water pipes while you were doing that, you know, right next to each other?
Well, it looks like Rochdale, the center of Rochdale has been done. It looks like part of Farm has been done. It looks like Tamara to Pine has been done, but not between the last part of from your house to Rochdale.
Yes, yeah, so I'm wondering, did you dig a trench in the road to replace the
they
sewer,
got
or did you do it while you were doing a road repair? Road resurfacing.
Yeah, yeah. So it's possible that they did it while the road was resurfaced. Again, that's the other map that I had out the last time. I haven't blended those maps yet to see, you know.
It's very possible, because it's so costly to do both, that they had to choose one or the other.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and generally, our water, you know, you don't want to really place a priority, but clean, safe drinking water is more important than the sewer line.
But we've
not
replaced,
that.
We've
well,
replaced no water pipes whatsoever.
Right, I know.
Not one.
No, but I'm just saying it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible. What's happening to what we view with the sewer pipes is abysmal. But drinking water takes priority. If you have to, you know, if you don't have enough money for both, drinking water takes the priority.
We have a copy of the video on that.
It's about 3.5 gigs. There's a flash drive with Anna. I have a copy on my computer. Bring a drive or a DVD, and I'll pipe it over to you.
Great. You can have a movie night over your house?
Yeah, we could
do
that.
We've talked about that, but
free water.
Roots,
not exactly the water
know,
we had
yeah.
to buy. I mean,
so
the movie.
Probably don't want to eat while you're watching it.
yeah. It's in color, too, so, you know. Yeah. So it's an interesting viewing.
Yeah.
You know.
Interesting and yucky.
Yeah. And I've actually, for Carmel, I've taken VHSs from Pine Drive from 2000 to 2010. And I've digitized them and given that to her. And that's Pine Drive on here has never been done either, you know, so on this map. So, you know, we're starting to find interesting maps, and the layers of the onion are slowly getting peeled back is really what it comes down to. And I don't believe anything until I see it for myself. I'm sorry. I'm like, you can tell me all day long, but when I see it, I know it's true.
And now you saw it.
Well, for this, yeah.
Do
for
they
the water
seem
pipes, I don't
willing
know.
To do other filming for us? Of our,
I want to talk to, and I already told Richard Brand and Clark that I would like to speak with them about a shared service agreement. In the past, I understand here in town, someone has jetted the sewer lines maybe once a year to get rid of excess buildup of grease and towels and whatever. Just like we should flush the fire hydrants at least once a year, if not more, we should jet the sewer lines at least once a year, and just to maintain things. It would behoove us to do that, I think. So, and I'll talk to these guys about it. They got equipment. They got to pay for it. We have stuff here that, you know, we saved $5,000 by them coming over here and jetting and televising these lines.
Oh, that was a real gift. Thanks to Mary. That was a real gift.
Thanks to Richie and Clark.
Thanks to both of you.
And it's a beautiful thing. Also, Clark, who runs the sewage authority over there, has been friends and teaches with and has taught with Mike Lyons, our sewer guy, for the past 40 years. So this is a nice network of people that know each other and tend to, when people are in the same industry, Greg knows this, they're all lawyers. They all talk to each other, you know. And they know each other, and they try to help each other out. So we could be on a good end of that sort of an arrangement, you know. So
the difference is lawyers try to kill each other.
The old knife in the back, yeah.
We all know each other, but it's the exact opposite.
Yeah, but it's like you're dealing with a different kind of shh. I can't say that. I'm not
that's true. That's true, too. Okay, but it still flows downhill.
It is. It is. So, that's kind of where we're at, and we... You know, as much as it's going to hurt, we have to deal with this. But we should do it in a very conscious, deliberate way. We can't just, we don't have the money to just go, oh, let's do this, you know. So we really.
I don't think most towns do unless you're really.
Some towns have money and they just say, let's do this, and they do it, you know. Yeah. So we have.
The wealthier ones.
We have a tax base that's not going anywhere, and it's like we only have what we have. And, you know. We got to bump the rates up once. I hope we don't have to do it again, you know, but we do have to figure out how to deal with this. And we should take a deep breath and step back and look at the long-term view of how to deal with this. And that's where we're at now.
Yeah. Well, I would just like to add that, like, when Joe says he's on the fence.
I was on the fence.
Right, but the reason that I was not on the fence is because I'm not an engineer, I'm not a financial person, I'm not a utility person. And so I take all of my information and guidance from our professionals. So when all the professionals agree that this is a gift that we should really be grateful for, that we're going to have 50% forgiveness and a 1% interest rate, we have 82-year-old pipes that we know are in poor condition, and also there somehow there's been this feeling that this is something extraordinary or this is this huge thing that just came about. But I was on the council, this what Mike printed out, which I didn't even see until a little while ago.
$3.5 million.
But except for the very
years.
First one in 2004, I was on the council for all these other authorizations that passed. And basically, it was business as usual. There wasn't a lot of discussion about it. You knew you had to do it. The whole purpose of a council is to govern the town and to make sure the town is running properly and safely. And so these were all passed with very little discussion, very little controversy. It just had to be done. Same thing now that we have this money, we have this wonderful program that George and Jerry have mentioned a few times. They have no idea how long it will be in place. We may not, might not exist much longer, and we should take advantage of this because we have the entire town. The water pipes are 82 years old. The sewer pipes are 82 years old. We have a real aging infrastructure that is starting to show the signs of its age. So when they all tell me that this is the best thing for us to do, and we're very lucky, we're small, we have these nano grants, then I'm on board with it.
I just want to defend myself a little bit here.
Oh, I wasn't against you in any way.
No, in my 40 years, my career, I have dealt with the professionals all 40 of those years. And, you know, sometimes they could be wrong. Sometimes there are other alternatives. Sometimes you could look at it from 10 different directions and see something else. But to me, this is good. $3.5 million in 10 to 12 years. We really have to be aware because we don't have that sort of leverage anymore. You know, we're down to a couple of million dollars right now if we're going to be able to loan out, you know, to borrow. So we should be very aware of how we spend what limited resources we have is basically it.
Well, I think we've done an excellent job with that. We're constantly striving to find the lowest cost and lowest price and whatever's available to us, grants and unfortunately, we're a small town with limited funds, so we just do the best that we can.
Well, the problem is the infrastructure is so old. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 82 years old. It's not every town has a historic infrastructure like that.
Oh, yeah, we're so lucky. And
well, maybe Mike knows. I mean, there's got to be some sort of historic connection to the federal government.
We've tried.
All of this stuff and like
we've tried. Know. They said we'd love to help you, but we can't. Yeah.
They bring the WPA back. That we
And also, I have to say, we have not. Oh, I'm sorry. We haven't raised rates in 6 years. We've kept it. You know, we've really tried very hard. I was finance chair up until I became mayor, and we tried really hard not to raise the water sewer rates.
I noticed today that 6 years ago when I moved in, it was 310, and now it's 372.
Yeah. So, but it has been. But according to our financial professionals, it will go up about somewhere between $95 and $140 per year. So it's basically $9-$10 a month. So that's
still, if we can hold the line and deal with it at the same time, that's might take more thought on terms of financial committee and the council and everything. But we have that to look forward to now. That we need to work together to make this work. You know.
Well, I think one of the things that's underscored, and Joe hit the nail right on the head, is that we need to execute and really plan for long-term infrastructure financing for the entire town over the next, you know, 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, moving forward, we need to figure this out.
Yeah. And that involves knowing when these bonds are worked down so that we only have so much, and at that point, what can we add? You know, so it's going to be a little more rigorous than it has in the past, I have a feeling. I just have that feeling.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm not sure how many of us will still be alive in 30 years.
We have to set it up.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I mean,
my big fear. Right, I said how many of us. But my my big fear is that, you know, we'll be swallowed up by Millstone, that we won't be able to be our own independent.
Don't want us.
I know they don't want us, but they, you know, who knows if they'd ever be.
But
course,
do we
want to
do
but we
that?
Are no,
I,
we're
not me.
Right, we're a historic. I mean, so not sure if everybody realizes that we are one of the only towns in the United States that has national and historic state national and state historic designation for the town in its entirety.
The entire town.
So many towns have a building here, you know, some kind of structure that's historic. Our entire town is historic. State on the state and national level, so it terrifies me that one day we wouldn't exist anymore. That they would be forced to merge into Millstone or somewhere else. So that's why that's one of the reasons supporting the fact that we do need a long-term plan. We have to know what we're going to do if we want to keep. If Cody wants his grandchildren still living here,
there's a thought.
Be a good place for it.
What?
It'd be a good place for it.
It's perfect. Did you like growing up here?
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's what everyone. We all feel that way.
One of the things, getting back to what Joe and other people are saying in terms of developing a long-range plan, when you look at the loans that we have out there and when they're paid off, a big one is a $1.5 million loan. Looks like it could be paid off in 2031, which sounds like, you know, some futuristic date, but it's not.
That's 13 years. 13, 14 years.
And the interest rate on that was between 3-5%. So we're paying off a high interest rate thing.
Exactly.
So the way that you structure that kind of thing is you phase in things when things are getting paid off so that you're not continuing to add layer on layer. Layers are expiring, they're being paid off, and you add it there. So I think we'll have to get busy on that.
So that's what I'm saying. It's got to be a overlapping of committees and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
It's not one person or one committee is going to make this happen for the future.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Exactly.
And we should have public people involved in these committees also, you know. And, so, yeah.
All right, so I think we need to go back to our regular order.
Make a motion to resume the regular order of business.
Sure.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, we come to public comment on agenda items only. Would anyone like, you know, I hate that thing there. I can't see Mary again. It's so annoying. Would anyone like to come to the mic? Oh, thanks, Mary. Or maybe a lower? Oh, thank you,
oh,
Joe. That's so I wish I thought of that weeks ago.
Well, now I can't see my papers.
It's a very technical adjustment.
Exactly, yeah.
Mary, tell us 21 Lake Drive.
I'm sorry, 8.
21.
Oh,
no,
sorry,
751.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed on the bills for the New Jersey Water Association, either we're renewing or we're joining that now. We're renewing. Okay, because I think that's a great thing. And that, I mean, East Windsor has helped us out on a local level. That organization has information. People have equipment that they could share and things with us. So they have a conference. I went on their website today. They have a conference coming up. I don't know if it's October or November, something like that. But I think the more we can participate in these kind of organizations, the better off we'll be.
We have been,
and John, our new water guy, has been a part of this for probably most of his adult life, so he's very aware of it, you know. So but for me, I'm catching up with all of this.
Sure. I think we're lucky to have hired John Holden also, as he's very experienced and involved.
Yeah.
And
but, I mean, we get certainly the recommendations from the engineers and the professionals, but you are our citizen overseers, science people looking at, you know, everything, the public works, the finance, the utilities, the environment and everything. So, a level of knowledge is required, can be pretty deep and very time-consuming for you all. So it's very great for you to undertake it. But, I think we've got to avail ourselves of all the kinds of things that we could learn. And Peggy Gallos, who I've mentioned before, she is offering 2 free sort of tickets to attend also in Atlantic City. They seem to have their conferences in Atlantic City.
They love Atlantic City.
Got to do something to bolster that town, I guess. But anyway, this organization, the, New Jersey Water Association and the towns who are running their utilities on their own, they're having a conference, and we can have 2 free, attendance.
When is that, Mary?
There. Good question. I think it's November. I'll check.
I wonder if it's part of the League of Municipalities convention or.
That's a different group.
Well, I know it's a different group, but I wonder if it's tandem.
It might be. I'll find out. Okay. I'll find out when it is.
Yeah, it'd be great to go to that.
Yeah. So I thought that was a good thing to pay for. The road repair, I guess now there is, the 4 have turned into a recommendation for Farm Lane. And I just would say, is that now we have so many things to all consider. The road needs to be repaired, but what about the infrastructure? Is that a place where we expect, where we have a history of problems? So can we factor in picking the construction also and look at where our breaks and things have been?
You know, the breaks actually, in the last few years, we had 1 on Pine, 1 on Tamara, and 2 on Rochdale. Yeah. So it's not as if they're really all happening in one spot.
Right.
I think we just know that they're all very old, and so at some point,
they're going.
According to the map here, the sewer pipes are half done on Lake, and no water pipes have been done anywhere to my knowledge. So
But they're all fully.
But so Tamara was one of the choices, and Tamara's a place where we've had a break. I'm just wondering,
there were 2 on Tamara. One was near the creek by the Shawn's house, and the other was at the Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And the one at the Triangle, I believe, was close to the same time as the sewer break was there. And that was during a 2 weeks of sub
8 degrees.
Yeah.
Right.
So that one kind of makes sense. The one near the creek makes sense also because the ones on Rochdale were near creeks, both of them.
Right.
So it seems like that's where the shifting of the ground occurs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, it would be good to get more information from other towns. I spoke with Richie about this sort of stuff, and he's talking about looking at the pipe and seeing whether it's sheared or whether it's split. and stuff like that.
Right.
So
remember in that report that we got from them?
They had shifts, it'll shear.
Yeah, they categorized
right.
it
right.
like
and,
that.
And so that's why the plastic pipe is a little better at stuff like this.
Way better.
Yeah.
From
yeah,
what I
yeah.
understand,
yeah.
right?
So we're finding, and the world is finding yeah. these things out. All
sure,
right,
yeah.
You know,
I mean,
so
it wasn't
yeah.
available back when we were
right.
installing
So, you know, as
back
we
when
look
our water was as brown as the walls.
Well, yeah. yeah. When they opened the hydrants over there to fill the truck up, it was pretty brown.
Oh,
so
you can't imagine.
We're waiting now to get the sludge pulled out of the water plant and then to flush the hydrants in the town, so.
Who's been here? I guess just Mike and Mike. When I mean, literally, mud came out every day. It was, it was
yeah.
just horrible.
And well, I guess we're going to have opportunity to talk about the bond later. But I mean, I think we definitely just have to go for that. That just makes a lot of sense. We better do it pretty quickly, because it sounds like other towns are maybe going to be applying for the money,
yeah.
and we'll lose that money. It's just a shame that the state doesn't, the New Jersey infrastructure will not help you finance sewer repairs. Maybe there's somebody else who does. I don't know. But, pardon? Yeah.
We need a we need a wealthy benefactor.
Yeah. So it sounds like $1 million to put the sewer in there. Wow, that really sounds exorbitant.
Right.
And I hope in your collaborations some of these other groups, we could get some other ideas and maybe some more sharing.
Yeah.
Could lower what the price is, but it sounds like we won't be able to do it now. yeah, I think that was it.
Thanks, Mary.
Thanks, Mary. Anyone else like to come to the mic? Okay, we close public agenda, public comment on the agenda at
7:58.
Okay. Can't see. where am I? Let's go to approval of minutes. We have September 12th, 2018, regular session minutes.
I'll move to approve the September 12th, 2018 minutes.
Second?
I'll second.
Who was that? Steve? Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
We'll come to correspondence. First, we have a letter from the State of New Jersey, Department of Environmental Protection, dated September 4th, 2018, regarding two new state maximum contaminant levels.
Okay. Little comment on that. We sent that letter again to John, the water guy.
Right.
And it's just more regulations.
Yeah.
And that was part of the problem before, is that the regulations just came pouring in as the years went by, and so John is going to deal with this.
Yeah, he's on top of it.
Yeah, he's on top of it.
And we have a letter from Roberts Engineering Group, dated September 20th, 2018, regarding the New Jersey Department of Transportation application for municipal aid grant, FY 2019.
And that's the farm lane.
And that's the farm lane. We come to ordinances. Bond Ordinance 18-06, second reading. Bond ordinance providing for the replacement of water mains, appropriating $715,000 therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $715,000 bonds and notes to finance a portion of the cost thereof, authorized in and by the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Monmouth, New Jersey. And I think we all know that this is the bond ordinance providing for the replacement of water mains located along Homestead Lane, Elm Court, and Cedar Court. So I will open the hearing at 8:01 p.m.
I'll move this bond reluctantly.
Well, wait, we
have
to do the hearing.
First, we have a public hearing.
We do?
Yeah.
But we voted in.
Oh, well, we've had many hearings,
yeah.
but okay. here's another
yeah.
one.
Okay.
So would anyone like to speak about Bond Ordinance 1806. Jerry.
I forgot.
Okay.
Yeah, Mary Tullis, 21 Lake Drive. Well, let's see. One thing which on the second page of the bond ordinance, section 5, B, the average period of usefulness, it says, according to the reasonable life, is 40 years. I think, hopefully, the material you're going to use is the HDPE. That has a useful life, supposedly, of 100 years.
Yes, it does.
Right?
You know, the problem is they won't fund anything going out too far because of the interest rates being historic lows. And and they don't do anything longer than 40 years, I don't think.
Yeah.
I thought
it just had to be a minimum. It had to last at least 40 years for them to fund it.
No, that's a maximum amount they'll go out on a loan.
Really?
And again, it's probably because the interest rate's 1%.
Oh.
You don't want to go out 40 years and guarantee 1% loans for 40 years.
Oh, but we're not, the period of the loan isn't 40 years, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was 30 years. It's 40 years.
I thought it was 30 also.
Yeah. But there were 40s available, but not at this point for this. Right. And that was Jerry and George last week talking about that.
It should be. It should last longer than.
Yeah.
I think it will.
Yeah.
It just not
okay.
Stated that way.
Mike. Right.
Well, but wait.
Okay. And then, was it possible? The DEP, this was something that came out of talking with Rich Brand, the DEP will fund replacement of any portion of your water main replacement that is lead.
Yeah.
And we thought there was some that was lead. So couldn't we, after the, well, this amount is a maximum, I guess. We're borrowing this amount, but we may not spend all of it, right?
Yeah.
So we should go after any help we could get from DEP for that. So hopefully that will be done.
Exactly. I spoke to Joe about that.
Yeah, once we dig these pipes up, we will have an indication. And in any case, if there is any of that, it will be where the male and female pipes meet.
Yeah.
And they put this red lead strip around the, and they tamp it in, and that stops the water from leaking out. And apparently on some goosenecks, but I checked with Dave's gooseneck, which was brass. So
So
we don't know
maybe
until
they won't
we
be, but if they are,
if
we
there
should
are,
go
then
after.
We have plans to get some samples of some of the pipes to see if we can find any lead, and certainly we're going to go after that. Between 90% to 100% funding, they'll do if they find lead in it. Yeah.
Oh, if they find lead in the water?
No.
No, if they find it
in the material.
In the material,
the connection.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
And anywhere in the connections.
And at this point, even if we did have it, it is not a contaminant to our water system, just to keep the public apprised of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's they do the lead in water, lead in copper sampling, and that's all okay. But if it does exist within the seams of the pipes, it's not going to leach into the system, but we should be aware of it, and it might be a plus for us if it is, you know. So, and again, that's how they connected the pipes, so they wouldn't leak back in the day.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Right. It was
state of
the art, I'm sure,
as
back then.
It's nice and soft.
Yeah.
It's kind of flexible. You can use it like.
Well, that's what they came in strips
like
solder, and you just wrap it around, you push it in, and you tick, 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 tick.
But especially in this town, like things were done here that were so non standard. When I lived in the 70s and the 80s, every time something would break or you would go to the hardware store, they would take one look at it and say, oh, you live in Roosevelt? Because no matter what it was, a nail, a screw, like a pipe, anything, they knew instantly because it was just completely non-standard. And they never had it. Well, Shangle and Hunt, for years, they had things for Roosevelt. But nothing here was done like anywhere else. So,
that's what I was wondering. Okay, thank you.
Mike.
Thank you, Michael Tickton. With respect to the point that Mary was making, I believe the reason that the 40 years is in there is that was simply the requirement of the bond. It's not that we're saying it only is in the last 40 years, it's that they want to see at least 40 years, and they don't really, if it's 100 years, they're not going to
protest
that.
Right, they just
want to
make sure
it
you
doesn't
get 40
matter.
Years out of it.
Exactly,
right.
They
want to
make sure
right.
It's at least 40 years, right.
Yeah.
So all they want to see is you said 40 years, they don't care about anything else. The with the bond ordinance, only half of the money is going to be used, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. The other half of the money, though, we'd still have that as we could borrow it if we needed it for utilities, though.
Right.
Okay. Could this be, if this was, but only for that project, or I guess it would only be for those, because it says for other, I was thinking of, does it say, it says including those streets, including Homestead and Cedar and Elm. Now, usually if you say including, if you want other things to be in there, you'd say including without limitation. So, because if you don't say including without limitation, then it's construed as limiting use, that you can only use it for that. And I was thinking when you, we're applying next year for water, for road repairs on, and you know, on Tamara Pine and on farm, would it be the intention to do, at the same time, to do water, at least water lines, you know, apply to the nano grants, try to do water lines on those streets as well?
I would assume if it is, that would be our intention.
Yeah, I mean, if, I wonder if it is, if it would be helpful if they, you know, to put in without limitation when you're listing those speed. But this, Greg, would you think, you think that, that would make sense to put in without, specify without limitation, so somebody can't look at it and say, well, you know, you just listed only those streets, so since you didn't say without limitation, only those streets, it can only be used on those streets, and that we wouldn't be able to use it on the other streets where we might want to use it next year.
You mean the grant that has to be submitted by October 8th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you have to give them a defined project.
Right.
Because they rate it on a scale.
Okay, because they say the way it's written, it says, you know, a layman reading it would say including. The, you know, layman's reading would be including, well, you know, maybe you do other things, but, you know, as we know, if you don't say without limitation, it could, legally it means that you can only do those. So I'm just wondering what the, if the intention was to use it, the money, for the next year's road projects as well.
You mean on the bond or the
bond? If you're having $700,000 and you're only using half of it, the other $350,000 in bonding capacity, would that be used to
get
more?
You mean you have to pass it again and amend it. I mean, and the other thing too is, I mean, the bond council is taking great care to write them very specifically.
Right. Okay. So we want to change it because it comes
from
the
bond. Sure, you're here for Ms. Parrott's objections.
Sure. Sure.
For the last 9 months.
Yeah. Okay.
So I mean, in light of,
yeah, I just want to learn, you know, to alert you.
I think it was material to really more than just Ms. Parrott as well.
Right.
Especially being comfortable with the bond.
And is, and you know, of course, we're saying, that, as correctly point out, that it makes sense to do the water lines at the same time that you do the road, of course. But are we saying nonetheless that we don't have the money to do the sewer lines at the same, though that makes equally makes sense to do the sewer lines at the same time, but we don't have the money to do the sewer lines, so therefore we're not doing it.
I think the auditor would much, would, I think your point is well taken. The auditor would really, I think, would prefer that way.
Yeah.
But I think that among this governing body, in terms of what they requested, and particularly Ms. Parrott when she was here,
yeah,
in terms of setting the policy, I think the specificity was, bond council was instructed to draft it with specificity.
Yeah, right.
So the council was comfortable with it.
Yep.
But yes, there's many other towns that use the excess later for the next year's projects, or at least to get them started at the beginning
of the
year.
Could you use it in the same project? Like,
yes.
So if you're saving $350,000 and then, you know, you go to do the project, do the sewer lines at the same time with that money that's, that was saved.
I believe it's drafted for water.
Just
says
water.
So you'd have to amend it again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Providing for the placement of water mains.
You'd have to, I mean, it's not a terribly complicated procedure. You just pass under the ordinance amending it, and then you don't have to do all the other steps that are otherwise done behind the scenes, which is putting about the notes out for auction, all that sort of stuff. You can reuse the authorization, but you'd have to amend it again if you wanted to do that.
Yeah, personally, I think a storm drain off of Homestead Avenue going under Borough Hall, which is now becoming a sinkhole, I think if we can do anything with that, with this, that would be a beautiful thing, you know.
I think you definitely need another bond for that.
Yeah.
So. I mean, there are some things that are really needed to be
there's
done.
Towns, I mean, Mr. Tickton's point is in very well taken. There's other towns, like, for example, if they have a great year and they come in under budget on the stuff the prior year, then reallocate those bond authorizations to start the engineering work for the next year so they can start in, like, April or May instead of starting in, like, now, is when we're passing the bond ordinance. We won't even be able to be dug in the ground until next year. But those towns also have much more aggressive capital programs and also a lot more financial wherewithal than you guys do. I suspect that if you guys have an excess authorization, they're going to it probably gets canceled here because your debt limit is so low. So they probably take the authorization off to give you guys flexibility. You know, I would imagine that's what the auditor is practicing.
Yeah, generally he does.
Okay, thanks.
We still have a lot of ordinances that are open that haven't been canceled.
The unfunded
parts haven't been canceled. They're just left open. That limits our borrowing capacity, right? But
it does, but
it also
keeps
it open.
Well, we spoke to the iBank.
It's emergency stuff also.
Yeah, we had them cancel some of them, and some we weren't sure we left open. But
no, I mean, I'd leave that to George's sound discretion. I mean, I you know.
I was on a conference call with George and the iBank, and so there were a few that we canceled, and then some we left open.
Well, I'm sure
some
George has really good
years.
Reasons for all of that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try to step on his toes by any means.
No, no.
Exactly.
Okay. He knows far better than me. He's been a lot of, you're longer than me, like 10 times as long, literally.
Yeah. Or longer. Maybe.
Probably longer.
Yeah. Jeff? Yeah.
Jeff, 521 Homestead Lane. I just have a quick question. On the long term, there's a lot of numbers, $3,715,000. This is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I was just curious, how does the oversight work? Is there a, as work begins on different projects, how does the oversight of where the funds, will this be public information on how money is dispersed per job, because it's a long-term project now, so who will be over the years paying attention to
the jobs go out to bid, number one. So, you know, over a certain amount of money, the jobs have to be bid by three different companies. And
right, and as the work comes in, though, as it comes in,
the engineer
in
checks
done,
the work on,
yeah.
The,
yeah.
on
yeah.
the ground,
yeah.
and the CFO,
yeah.
so there'll be vouchers and payment requests.
Yeah. Yeah.
So long story short, when you pass a bond ordinance like this, it's assigned
right.
a number, a line item in the bond, in the budget in the back, in the admin system. So it's specifically reserved for that purpose in a specific account that's listed on the budget every
yeah.
year. If you look at the debt statement, it'll say
right.
bond ordinance, da-da-da-da-da, the purpose. And it'll you can get a printout from the back. You can open it very easily, and you can see what all the authorizations are that we're talking about.
Okay, so
you can,
go back,
line
you
item.
Can go back a couple. Is there a time limit, or you can go back
well,
as far?
And also the council is charged with overseeing all of the above.
The council itself, but the council
Us,
is
yeah.
right,
well,
you
council,
guys,
the
but
engineer.
The council changes.
Yeah, yeah. the engineer, yeah. the
well, the engineer makes sure they're building what it's supposed to be out there
mm-hmm.
and that the work has actually been completed. The engineer certifies to the CFO.
CFO is overseeing.
Together with the
right.
contractor who also has to sign the voucher, I did this work and this
and
is
who
the
who in town
price.
And in the town of Roosevelt?
And the CFO observes whether that bill should be paid or not, pays it, and then on a regular basis, and particularly at budget time, the council gets full reports of how much authorization
so
is left,
the
how
same
much
is spent. As we're getting now in our in the monthly.
Well,
it'll be on the monthly
not
statement.
Not on the same
completely
basis.
Separate
no,
issue
everything,
that we
everything
can
also would be on file as payments are made and charges mm-hmm. are done. It'd be on file in the borough clerk's office.
Mm-hmm.
And any member of the public can go in there and say, I'd like to see the file on this bond ordinance.
Okay.
So
I mean, basically, because it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If
right.
people,
you've got
who's
this
actually thing. Watching what, you know, this
let me
comes
actually,
in and I'm giving you a screen for
$5,000
and nobody really pays attention.
Three people with the council overseeing.
Right.
And let me give a case in point.
Purchasing agent, CFO,
right,
engineer.
So if there's a glitch,
yeah.
somebody would go,
yeah,
well,
we
this is a little odd.
Oh, and the auditor audits them.
Right,
okay.
right.
Okay.
That's
I'm just
say,
curious. I assumed that was it.
Let me give Jeff.
This is a special
it's
project.
Anna. We have Anna watching everything. Mm. And then you've got George Lang, Jerry Stankiewicz, Carmella. There's a whole network.
And the audit submitted to the state,
and then
the DCA.
To
frankly, if there were less layers of oversight, you'd get this project done way cheaper.
Right.
But
let
there's
me,
about
me,
five layers of oversight.
I have to give
change,
this point.
It just changes.
I have to give this point.
Right. Okay.
Okay. In terms of oversight, the last water main break on the triangle at Tamara, oh, no, right across the street here on Rochdale.
Yeah.
Earl Company billed us $22,000,
right.
whereas the one on Tamara, Earl came in and did it for $11,000.
Right.
So that did not get caught until the last
well,
minute.
Well, it did get caught.
I caught it. So
caught
the overseeing of
caught.
The council
yeah.
is what caught it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
so the council is charged with, like, looking. When we come in, we sign all these bills. And that's the checks that go out to these people. If we see something that looks out of order, it's up to us to flag it and to say what's going on. So that's your question.
Okay.
What is the oversight?
Yeah. And that's post.
We are
that's
the
post.
Oversight.
Something work will be
yeah.
done. It's going to be the same procedure,
yeah.
even though it's a special
it's
project.
It's the same thing.
It's
a larger
it's
project, but our boots on the ground are what should make the difference.
Okay.
We should be able
yeah.
to look at everything.
All of it after.
Public.
It's all
okay.
after
yeah.
the fact.
Yeah,
it's all the same
it's all
reports
after the
that
fact.
You buy the exactly.
During the fact,
okay,
right, to make sure the work gets done.
Well, it's actually
and to make
after
because sure
you'll get the bills and
yeah.
work will already be
yeah,
done.
It's a whole chain of people.
Yeah.
that are watching each step, right. The $700,000 right. In the first phase of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
The most important part is the borough engineer.
Right.
Because she's the only one that knows whether they're building it right or not.
Right.
So on the ground is most important. Everything else is pretty much, you know, same thing for the toilet paper to the road. Doesn't matter what you're buying. It's the same process.
And hopefully the companies working with our
After I saw the bill for
with, you know over the years and
when I saw the bill for $22,000, I sent it to Carmella and said,
"Why is this $22,000?"
And she got in touch with the company, and they had double billed us, so that got taken care of.
Right, but that's exactly what right. And then somebody can go in and look, and somebody from the public can get it open and go look and say, "Why was this?" And even if somebody's missed, the public can still have access to everything at that point. Okay, and I have one other question. Can a member of the public receive a copy of the sewer
pictures?
Pictures, the movie.
If you want that, it's on a flash drive. It's on a flash drive. It's about 3.5 gigs, so you're going to need at least
popcorn?
A 4 gig.
I would miss that.
Be like a 4 gig.
The pictures are gross enough without seeing
the
video.
Don't we have a screen?
I love
it.
Like a projector, not a problem. I think we got about it's about 2 hours altogether. It's in HD, full color. You know. Yeah.
And it shows which is where and everything.
It tells you from the manhole that they're at, the latitude and longitude, and how far in, how many feet in the pig or the robot is.
Right.
And every lateral. They even took pictures of the cracks, and they marked them all. And so they did an excellent job.
I know you were so moved. I was like,
I was moved. That's a great use of technology, man. Yeah.
And,
so.
Can I ask you a question?
So I can just ask, so I can just get it. I'm sorry, Peggy.
No,
just get
you
it
can bring me a flash drive. I have a copy at home. There's a copy here, but then
so
I would put Anna
gigs.
Through changes.
Okay.
Say 3.5 gigs. Get that's a 4 gig drive. No problem. Yeah.
Why do you want to see it?
I'm curious to see because it's disgusting, but it shows the cracks and work.
Oh, no,
can be
I'm
done.
Just kidding. Yeah. I know why you
it's
want
wonderful.
To see it.
It is. The facts, just the facts.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Facts and the cracks. There you go.
Anyone else from the public?
Can I make a suggestion too? That I know that Deirdre couldn't make it tonight, and she put in a request and requested that we hold the public hearing open, not vote tonight, because she wanted to be able to vote on it. Again, it's up to the council whether or not to do
well,
that.
Well,
no,
she
table
didn't. I spoke to her at lunch. She didn't ask us to hold it.
What did she ask?
She just said she wasn't going to be here tonight, and she didn't know if it would be voted on tonight, but she didn't. She never asked us to hold it.
And we're hold down one member also.
Yeah.
Were we going to induct somebody tonight?
Well, not tonight, no.
Okay.
No, not tonight. No.
Okay. Would it kill it to hold it off for another set? It's, you know.
It's been since July 13th. I mean, whatever, you know, it's up to everyone here.
I'd like to
Michael Shale. Michael Shaking his head.
Is the public hearing closed?
Well, I was ready. I was just ready to say that. Oh. Okay, I didn't close it yet.
Oh, okay. sorry. Yeah. I
just want to ask a question about something you were talking about and that Michael brought up. I thought at the last meeting, all the information that you presented, Mike, we had like $820,000 authorized, and I'm not sure how the resolutions were written, but never spent. So is that still available somehow?
It depends on how the ordinance was written.
Okay.
And whether or not it qualifies. And again, that wouldn't be a question for the council to answer.
Yeah.
That would be
a George Lang question.
So, but we thought we had some excess authorization.
We still need to look at that, but again, we were waiting for the sewer, the report of the televising of the sewer.
Right.
To see if then we could use that, but we'll have an answer at the next meeting, which is another reason why we may want to hold this open.
Are you?
But we're just voting on water at this point, and not sewer replacement.
Are you in danger of like not giving the engineer enough time to?
No, you see the engineering that really needs to be done that's taking some time is actually the road work engineering. That's what takes a lot of time, and that needs to go out to bid. I think running the water and the sewer lines is really a pretty easy task, especially if we're talking about plastic lines. I don't think it needs a lot of time to spec it out. I may be wrong. Maybe do you know, Joe?
I'm not sure.
I spoke to Carmella about it. because I was worried about the timing of the ordinances. So my understanding is that she needs to do a lot more base mapping and surveying for the roads to make sure they drain correctly when they're all done and the curbing and everything. But that the water pipes, essentially, all she has to do is survey a straight line and then put it in the ground. So she needs, I don't want to say it's that simple because there's a lot, but
yeah, there are markups.
The road takes, she told me, the road takes four times longer to design than the pipes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Debbie Connors, 23 North Rochdale. Excuse me. At one of the meetings, I remember the two gentlemen.
The auditor and the CFO?
Yeah. The question had come up about how long it had, you know, you guys had before you had to make a decision. And I remember one of them specifically saying that we shouldn't go past the September 24th date because we're going to be put at risk of not getting these loans.
I remember that as well. That's why I
but
thought
that
it
was for the
but
road.
For the road work.
That was
right,
for the
roads,
road work.
But,
that's not
but
the
you know what? I would like to, at this time, implore upon this council to please vote tonight. Previous councils have dragged their feet and dragged their feet, have put off doing what needed to be done, and this is the situation we're in now. Delaying the vote is really putting everybody at jeopardy in the town, and you have a responsibility to us. Please don't jeopardize us and lose this funding. And from what the two gentlemen have said, that's what's going to happen.
Well, again, we're talking about two different bonds. The first bond for the road work was the one that had a time limit. This one, it's almost like we're good almost towards the end of the year, as long as the engineering
is there's
done.
Yeah, there's no grant and no grant right. deadline for
right.
this. The funding is for the is for the loans itself. Not, it's not a grant,
right.
So and there's no timeline on the grant.
The grant.
Even
the
so,
work.
This has been a discussion that has
sure.
been open to the public.
Yep.
How many times?
Probably
and
five or six times.
How many people have been here?
Yeah. A
and
lot
no
of people.
And you know what? If nobody is going to be coming, why continue to have it open just to delay?
I don't think we're trying to delay.
But
well.
That's the impression that you're giving everybody.
Sorry if you have that impression.
I'm sorry, but. We've given, there's been how many open meetings? You've had how many people show up? And everybody's been notified. It's not like, you know, nobody knows. So I would just like to implore upon you, don't delay this any longer. Thank
you.
I
have to agree a little. I feel like in Roosevelt, we tend to talk about things forever and not take action. But, you know, it's up to the council.
Well, that's what I've been seeing, and I just.
Well, I think that, no, I mean, that's a history of Roosevelt,
well,
not just recently.
Yeah, that's what I've
yeah.
seen with reading that.
Mike?
Thank you.
No.
Yeah, I just want to agree with what Mrs. Connors said. We were talking before about this nano grant, that it might not be available, and who knows how other people are going to apply for it. We may be put back on a list. It would seem to me that it would be prudent to get in there as soon as possible, and I just don't see any real reason to delay it.
Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to close the public portion at 8:24. So, does the council want to vote tonight?
I'd like to have a little discussion among the council if we can. Is that appropriate
sure.
at this time?
Yeah.
Sure.
It's an open thing. One of the issues that we have with an ordinance of this sort is it needs a supra majority of the council, which means it needs four affirmative votes. It doesn't matter how many people are here, it needs four votes to pass. The mayor can't vote on it, can't vote if it's a tiebreaker, any of those things. So one of the issues is that I think we think about is, will it pass or will it fail if there's only four council people to vote on it? It would need a unanimous council vote. And at this point, I mean, I'd like to have a straw poll and see how people feel about it at this point. Do you need more information? Do you not need more information? Are you inclined to vote in favor of it or opposed? And if give reasons why you're inclined to vote one way or the other. So we can kind of hash this out and figure out what we're doing here.
May
do you
want
to start?
Yeah.
I think I already expressed my opinions on it. I don't like the fact that we're spending all this money, but I think it's a necessity. It's our job to repair the infrastructure. I just have a little thing that I want to read that came from the USDA and the EPA, and it was regarding a seminar. They were advertising a seminar on doing this kind of work, and what they said is the economic strength and public health of communities across the United States depends on water systems that reliably deliver clean and safe water. Aging infrastructure such as pipes and pumps can fail, leading to water outages for homes and businesses, or the release of untreated sewage into homes, roads, and surface waters. Water and wastewater utilities often lack the resources needed to perform the ongoing equipment maintenance and infrastructure replacement required to ensure reliable, safe service now and into the future. We must address the challenges of today while planning for the future to improve utility success over time and bring real benefits to your community. And I think it's
Mike, what's that from?
This is from an advertisement for a webinar that was, I guess it was a week or 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that webinar.
We
yeah,
notice
yeah,
of it.
Jerry and George.
Right.
Yeah, Jerry and George.
And I think it's a good summary of you know what we're charged with as a borough government, as council people, and that's to make some of these tough decisions and to repair the infrastructure. Basically, that's what we do, whether it's repairing a DPW garage or making sure the sewer lines are cleaned out and operating appropriately, even raking out the leaves out of gutters and making sure that the water mains work appropriately and the sewer lines too. It's not like we have another option for it. We can't contract out for water and sewer services. We can't. We have other options for other services, but we can't do that with this. We really have to repair the water and sewer lines when they need to be repaired, and when the financing, the timing is right, when the financing is right. So I'm in favor of passage of the ordinance.
Okay, I've expressed my opinion already here and the reasons why, and reluctantly I would vote for this, and knowing that in the future we're going to be very serious about how we approach these things. Okay, so I would vote for it tonight.
Cody?
I'm also in favor. I think everything's been laid out very clearly. The fact they were able to meet with George, Jerry, and Carmel on multiple occasions. They willingly came by. It's a very open meeting. We were able to pick their brain quite a bit, and all the responses were very positive. I also agree with Peggy that I think we should be able to trust the professionals in a way, but not only that, also pick their brain and challenge them, which we've done. And they gladly came by multiple occasions and answered. So it seems pretty positive amongst everybody, amongst the townspeople coming by. We've had many very open meetings. So I think everything's laid out and sounds very good to me. So I agree.
Well, it looks like I'm the only holdout. So, and I'll give you the reason why. Originally, I was totally against it. Then the more I thought about it, the various options, and I thank the public a lot, actually, for voicing their opinions about various things to get the other side of the issue. One of the things was that about these the issue of the problem areas. Like why?
Like a chair.
Why? There's always a problem, right? Yeah. So you know, and all the issues regarding alternative methods, cheaper methods. I'm personally not done picking the brain of Carmella. You know, I have lots of questions still. You know, how much? You know, if you decide, okay, let's replace the water pipes on Homestead right now. Dig a trench and build it all in, and that is a particular cost. Now, if you do it while the road is being resurfaced, how much do you save? You know, apparently, you know, we're sort of like being pushed because it's being resurfaced. Like, now's the time to do it. Well, I'd like to see the numbers. How much are we saving by doing it while we're doing a road resurface? And frankly, I'm halfway there, because the courts, I don't see any other options. There's no, you can't reline it, you can't pipe burst it, you can't. It's just open trench or nothing. So, you know, since we're going to be doing the road repair, it seems wise to also do the water pipes. But now, after listening to Joe with the televising of the sewer along Homestead, and now it seems ridiculous to go in and just do the water and not do the sewer. And frankly, I don't think whatever is going wrong with the sewer line is a whole separate issue from what may or may not be going on with the water line. That the problems in the sewer line wouldn't sway me one way or the other. So, you know, and then the issue of, you know, if you have a decision to make about Homestead and replacing the water pipes, well, is that more important than focusing on the problem areas? You know, like why was it decided that, well, let's do Homestead, let's put all this money into Homestead and not do those problem areas? Like what's the reasoning that went into that decision? You know, and it may come down to, well, we're doing road repairs on that road. Well, if that's the reason, then tell me how much we're saving by doing the pipe replacement while, you know, repaving the road. So, you know, I'm not all the way there. I'm halfway there. And those are some of my concerns. You know, one of the issues that were brought up, that I brought up, about pipe bursting, I didn't think that was a satisfactory answer. You know, when I said, well, why didn't you bring that up? And she said, well, it's because it's more expensive than open trench. I disagree. You know, and then she went and came up with a scenario where, you know, you can't do pipe bursting if it coagulates all the way down to such a narrow opening that you can't get the cable through. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good argument, even though I know that if you're going to reline the pipe, they're not going to put a liner on top of all that crap that's in there. They do like a roto-rooter thing and clean it out and then put the... So I don't think that is such an obstacle for considering that option. So that's sort of where I'm at, you know, and it's not firm. I'm not digging my heels in. I just need to get there my way, and I'm not there yet.
Can I just say, Steve, that Rich Brand agreed with Carmela about, you know, not doing the pipe bursting and just doing it when the roads are being repaved. That was his recommendation as well.
And he seems like a knowledgeable guy.
Yeah.
One way of looking at the cost and how much we're saving, because I think you should look at the cost offset from not having, you know, having a grant to pay for the road work. The cost of doing that road work was pretty obvious in the last ordinance we passed. It was a little over $300,000. It included engineering costs and all. That was just pure road work.
Right.
So that's the cost, essentially, that we'd have to pick up all of. We had a cost share with that, so we're not saving $300,000. We're saving whatever our cost share is. Well, actually, we are, because we were given a grant for the rest of it. So when you ask how much we're saving around $300,000+.
Right. Well, I didn't follow that.
The cost of that, the ordinance that we passed prior to this one was just for the road work, the cost of doing the road work, right? Homestead and the lanes. So that's the cost of doing the road work. You were asking what the offset was, where the savings is with that. And it's with the $300,000 that you'd need to do to dig up and to repave the roads. If you didn't have that, you'd have to pay that out of pocket.
Let me jump in for a second. On Carmela's letter from, I don't know, April, May, June, the 22nd, there was a cost breakdown for the pipage and whatnot. And part of that was $72,000 for repaving. So there would be that savings, which is already built into this bond here. This bond has $72,000 in it for repaving. Meanwhile, the other bond repaves by itself. So to me, there would be $72,000 savings in this $715,000 because we're not going to repave it twice.
Right.
Well, plus engineering costs, too.
Well, that's separate.
That's already engineered with the previous.
Well, the pipage is different engineering cost.
Right? No, but I mean for road engineering. Since
okay, well, the road is engineering is on the first one, right. The pipe engineering is on a different one, and those are two separate issues. They're
exactly.
Two separate costs.
That's what I'm saying.
But one redundant cost is $72,000, $73,000 for repaving that lives in this and the itemization. So we might be able to save that. Who knows? So.
Also, okay. Steve, I don't think there is a problem area. They've been happening on various streets. We never know which one's going to happen next. They're all 82 years old. Every street, well, maybe not the a couple parts of Lake, but,
well, but
most
there's
of the
been members of the public who would disagree with that, you know.
But
so I would just like to look at the facts.
If
somebody could have a map with a bunch of facts on it about where these pipe breaks are happening,
we know where they happen.
How often?
The public, we have the facts. We know where they've happened on Tamara, on Pine, on Rochdale, all over town. So there is not really one specific area.
Well, see, but that's two explanations. One saying that it happens willy-nilly because all the pipes in town are bad and you never know where the next break is going to occur. Okay, that's one point of view. And then there's another point of view saying, well, wait a minute. You know, they had three breaks over here and two breaks right there and three over there. And
no,
it seems to be a pattern. So it can't be both.
Well, we right? know where they have been. There's been Tamara, Pine, Rochdale.
Two on Rochdale and actually two on Tamara. The triangle is part
triangle,
of Tamara
yeah.
there. So.
Yeah. And one on, what am I missing?
Pine.
Well, Pine, I was calling Pine, I was calling Tamara Pine.
Yeah.
Because it was right at the triangle. So.
It's at the creeks.
Yeah. But that,
creeks.
I mean, those are the facts. That's where they've happened. So it's not just like four on Pine or four on Tamara. They have been scattered around town.
I understand what Steve is talking about.
Oh, I do too, but I don't think it has been, I don't think we have a targeted problem area.
Well, the other issue is that, you know, did we do any pipe replacement the last time we did repaving?
No, no. We've never replaced
we've
the pipes.
We've never done it. Okay, so this is a new trajectory, right? We decided we're going to get into pipe replacement. And we're on a trajectory of, you know, open trenching all the pipes. You know, because what's going to happen with if we get this farm road thing? Well, then, oh, we're going to be resurfacing farm road. So let's do the pipes, you know. And so the next thing you know, every pipe that we replace is going to be this very expensive method used to replace the pipes. And I'm not convinced that replacing all the pipes in town for whatever the price is, $15-20 million, is the way to go. And we're getting onto that trajectory, and it's starting now because it hasn't. We haven't done it in the past. We've decided at this juncture to, when we're repaving these particular roads, that we've decided to, okay, we're going to do the pipe replacing starting now. And it just seems like we're getting into a pattern and a trajectory of doing it the most expensive way, in my opinion.
I think it's been shown that it's not the most expensive way. This is the least expensive way. That's why it's the practice of most towns to perform the work this way, because it is the most cost effective and the least expensive. But can I just ask you a question? So if we don't do it, then what do we do? A town has to constantly upgrade and maintain. So if we don't do this and we have these aging pipes, then what do? We do nothing?
I would try to determine in town what is the priority. And the priority may be sewer. The priority may be particular water lines in particular areas that I don't even know, because I've never seen a map that explains where the breaks are occurring.
We could tell you where the breaks are occurring because we know.
Yeah, well, one of the things that helps determine our priorities is where the best funding is too. And they're not.
Well, funded. A nano grant would apply to any. I mean, if we did pipe bursting, we'd get 50%.
No, but I'm talking about sewer replacement. They're not willing. They're not going to fund half of the cost of sewer line replacement. But they will water, which is why we're focusing on water, because the nanogrant program is there for that. It's at half cost.
But then when do we focus on sewer?
Well, maybe
nobody's offering any money to help out.
Not at this point. They're not, no. And that's a tough decision, because then that's the real costly part, which is why we've been reluctant to do that, because the funding hasn't been there for that. So I think we're taking advantage of where the funding is and what the funding rates are and saying, you know, we have to start doing this after 82 years. I mean, geez, and we know the condition of the pipes.
Well, and I appreciate the fact that there's a focus, anyway, on the infrastructure. I think it's important, and it definitely needs to be done, and we need to have a plan. It just seems to me that the plan is, okay, every time you're going to repave a road, replace the pipes, and it's...
Would having more time to look at this another 2 weeks, would that...
Well, it probably would help, because I find myself inching along as I get more information. Like when Joe said about the sewer pipes being so bad underneath the Homestead Road, well, it seems ridiculous now for us to go down and replace the water pipes and not do anything with the sewer. And then to hear that possibly... if there's a nano grant and you got an extra $350,000, well, then maybe we could use some of that money to replace the sewer lines. Well, then now it's seeming a little bit more attractive.
No, you can't use water money to replace the sewer lines.
Can't
be done. But
so then why are we going to replace a water line in a road and neglect the sewer line that's right next to it?
Because they're two separate issues.
They're two separate issues, and we're trying to do things incrementally. So you replace this water line, and then you do farms water lines, and little by little, until the whole town has new water pipes, new water lines. We can't afford... There's lots of things. Look at this room. The rugs are stained. The walls are awful. The lighting's old, but we don't have the money to just come in and renovate the whole room and put down cleaner, more hygienic flooring, and we are going to start with the lighting, get more ecologically sound lighting. But I would love to redo the Borough Hall. It's dated and it's moldy and it smells and it's awful. We don't have the money. It's the same thing with the sewer lines. Right now, we just don't have the money for that, and you can't mix the water and sewer on the grants.
I just want to say that it doesn't look like we have four affirmative votes on the ordinance and there are still some questions, it doesn't make sense to put it to a vote and then have it fail based on someone who has more questions, and they're legitimate questions, and you know they're on the fence and would like an answer to those questions, because there's a lot of cost that went into this ordinance already. We paid a lot of money for it. I don't know what our expenses were, but it could have tens of thousands of dollars in engineering expenses, in advertising the ordinance, and you know there's a cost with all of that. And every time there was a suggestion about any alternative way, Carmella investigated it, and she billed us for it. We paid over $5,000 for her to investigate pipe bursting and other methods and all too. So there is a chunk of change that we already put out there for it, and I hate to see that go to waste. So I'm in favor of allowing a little more discussion. And I understand the public saying enough is enough. We need to do this. We need to do this work. But if you don't have the votes for it and the ordinance is going to fail and you've spent a lot of money already invested in that, I would rather wait until we get other council members who are here to give their input and we answer some of the questions that Steve has. There are questions that other people have, too. They're probably very similar to Steve's. Yeah. It makes sense to... I know, this has been extraordinary. I've never seen a funding ordinance go through this kind of scrutiny, ever.
Because it
ever.
Hasn't.
Yeah, for you know, meeting after meeting after meeting. But, again, a lot of the input has been great from the public.
We've never replaced water pipes in this town either. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, I know, but it has to get done.
Let me just throw this out there. And again, I was 50-50, and I'm for it now. But I'm the one that brought up the concept of that is 1/10 of the total water pipage in town. I'm just the more I look at a map and mark it off, it looks more like 1/20, to tell you the truth. But I'm going to look at the footage again from. from the sewage thing there, and I can have an exact marker for how many feet.
That might be
I was going on the linear footage of
well,
the
no, we weren't told it was 10%. We
yeah,
were told.
I'm the one that brought that up.
No, I
and
think George said it was 10 also.
I know. But I got that figure because of the linear footage on
yeah.
the breakdown.
Right.
So she could order twice as much.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean that that is one-tenth.
I think we ought to look yeah. at that. And
so
and
I'm going to look at that also.
One of the things that Steve mentioned and is a concern is every time we do road work, are we going to do this? The answer is no.
Right.
We're not. Because some of the roads, like Nerco Road, we already have funding
well,
for.
Yeah.
Well, Nerco Road
doesn't
have
water
lines either.
Right.
There's no water lines so, under yeah. there. We don't have to do any water main replacement underneath that. So that would be strictly road
that's
cost.
That's 2019.
But that's the only road in town with that situation.
No, Eleanor Lane
Eleanor
doesn't have water.
Eleanor Lane. And yeah. other areas may not need it, too, as badly. And we'd have to take a look at it. So
we don't know what's needed and what's not with the water pipes
right.
until we break one open. That's the only way we can look at them.
Yeah. So
yeah.
It's complicated,
yeah.
and but it doesn't necessarily mean we're replacing every time we do a road project. We'll replace it if it needs to be. We'll certainly discuss it. But I understand your concerns, and so I'd like to.
You want to just move to table?
I'd like
it?
To suggest that we table it, keep the discussion open for another session, allow more input, answer some of the questions that people have, the members of the public have, and Steve has, and we may have, too, between now and then. We've had new information about the
yeah,
condition
we just
of the
got
sewer
new information
line.
About that, right?
We need to look at the possibility of funding it with any money that may be available in an ordinance that was passed that was unfunded already.
And methods also.
Right, and
yeah,
methods.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We still have some homework
yeah.
to do, maybe.
Yeah, this is true.
So
if you are moving to move it till the next meeting, I'll second that. I don't know if you'd made that motion or what.
Well, I would just ask the chair if there's any more discussion on it before there's a motion.
No, I think we've...
Among the council. I mean, if there's
oh.
any other questions.
I said what I had to say.
Yeah, well, I mean, everyone.
I'll make a motion to table it until and keep the public hearing open for at least one more session.
Yeah, I'd just like to remind everyone that the next meeting is October 9th, which is a Tuesday, because Monday's Columbus Day. So the next meeting is Tuesday the 9th,
right.
October 9th. Do I have a second?
I'll second Mike's motion.
Do we want to do a roll call? Or
yes.
Oh, okay, roll call. Okay.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
So I just want to announce that the public hearing is
Tuesday.
Going to be Tuesday, October 9th, 2018.
Okay. So do I read this and table it the next
yes.
time?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we come to Ordinance 18-07, second reading, amending Chapter 7, Vehicle and Traffic, Section 7-14, Stop Intersections of the Roosevelt Borough Code Book. And this is the ordinance that adds the new stop sign at the intersection of Homestead Lane and North Valley Road.
So moved.
No.
Nope.
Public
sorry.
Hearing.
Public.
Yeah.
Stop sign.
Okay, I open the public hearing at 8:50. P.M. Anyone have anything like to say about the stop sign? Okay, I close the public hearing at 8:50.
We have to table.
Now I'd like to announce that we need to table this.
I'd like to make a motion to table. And what's the
reason? Well, I was going to just explain.
Advertisement.
The advertisement went out one day late, so it has to be 7 days, and it was only 6 days. So,
well, can we? So, I have a technical question. Can we table it, or do we need to reintroduce it?
No, you can just hold the public hearing open until the next meeting.
Okay.
So that the advertising period
okay.
expires, and it didn't go out late. Clerk sent it out on time. Newspaper put it in late.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So
oh, okay.
That was a stop sign.
So make sure no one thinks
yeah.
the clerk
yeah.
called.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll make
I'd
a
like
motion
to amend that for the public record. It was
okay.
to
hold the public
newspaper
hearing.
Printed
yeah.
it late.
Newspaper printed it late.
Yeah, okay.
Clerk sent it out on time.
Okay.
To table and hold
newspapers
the
these days.
I'll second it.
So, Mike, you were first?
Yeah.
So, this is to table?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, so public hearing
is Tuesday, October 9th. We will come to resolutions. Resolution 18-123.
Make a motion.
Payment of bills.
To pay the bills.
Second?
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Sheehan? Mr. Sheehan. Mr. Trammell.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Resolution 18-123 passes.
I'd like to offer Resolution 18-124, amending 18-121 and authorizing Roberts Engineering Group, LLC, to prepare an application for the New Jersey Department of Transportation Municipal Aid Grant fiscal year 2019
Farm Lane.
Yeah, Farm Lane.
And the between the whole section of
North Valley and Rochdale.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It's improvements to Farm Lane between North Rochdale Avenue to North Valley Road.
All right, so I made the motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
I'll just say that there were four roads that were for consideration, and by far Farm Lane was the one that that Carmella recommended that we do, because the possibility that the whole thing will be funded in one shot, which could be a significant grant, and also it needs it. It makes sense to me.
We'll have the same. Well, this has to go further. Do you think we have the same amount of speed bumps?
Do you think there should be more?
Oh, I'm just curious. I want more is the thing. I don't know if there's different regulations or something that might.
No, it's really, we've had various discussions over the years about speed bumps and height of speed bumps and
They're all different in town.
So they're different.
Yeah, some are higher, some are lower.
Some of them you can fly over.
Yeah.
Other ones, they can spot them out over. So.
It's when they had excess milling from the road work that they wanted to put it somewhere.
We'll discuss that.
Because Farm Lane, I wasn't able to find out when the last time it was paved, but yet they do have speed bumps.
I don't think it has been paved.
So they just stuck
the
speed bumps on, roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay.
This is still not to exceed $4,000 for her, I believe, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
This is just, everything else stands still.
Just the one.
Okay. Reports of borough officials. Mike, do you have something?
Okay, I distributed, all got it by email, I believe.
Michael Tickton,
Environmental Commission Chair. Yeah. We have a field, this is a report that we've gotten from the, Nick Murray provided as chair of the Forest Management Trails Committee, the Environmental Commission, committee-based commission, as he works on different project areas. So he's saying we intend to hold the trail cleanup and maintenance day on Saturday, November 10th, or a rain day being the 11th, from 9 to 1, picking up trash and litter, cutting back encroaching vegetation, invasive species removal, building new puncheons, those are the wooden structures that are on the trails, going over wet areas, planning of updating the trail sign, adding to the trail sign, trailhead signs to reflect the new name, which the council had approved, naming the trail in honor of Ron Phillip. We just wanted to say if the council had any concerns about this, just let us know. So, because we're having an environmental commission meeting on Wednesday, so we'd want to be able to discuss any questions that the source of the project is funded out of the Woodland Trail Memorial Fund. And we're working with the Assinpink to do, they're doing, providing a lot of the assistance in doing this. And
looks like a lot of our trails live in the Assinpink, actually.
Part of our trails are, yes.
Yeah.
The ones, the part of our trails that are in the Assinpink are east, or it's east of North Valley Road, of North Valley Road, and then west of Tamara Drive.
Right.
Both of those are,
this is a big jump.
Are under Assinpink, and we do this with the Assinpink's permission and cooperation.
And it's good that they work with us.
Yeah, they're working with us with these punches. They, they, giving it, they're assisting us in constructing them, and we just have the materials. They've assigned somebody to build them, and you know, so really they're being very cooperative.
When I was on the safety committee, they also volunteered to give us signage about posted no hunting or no shooting in this area, and so could we install some of those signs?
Sure, I'll mention that. That we should ask them about that too.
That would
sure.
be Lisa LaCroix, no I'm hunting signs, sure, yeah. The okay. sheriff over at the Essam thing. Yeah.
Okay. We also working cooperatively with the county, yeah. with the county parks. So, in fact, there's some trails. They're now the trail maps that have been made that are combined trail maps of Roosevelt,
exactly,
the Assapink, yeah. and the county park.
Millstone.
So it shows everything way, connecting yeah. and right. Not also township's not involved, but the Assapink wildlife management area is involved, and the Prineville Lake County Park is
yeah,
involved, Prineville, and
Prineville,
the borough
yeah,
is involved.
Yeah,
so that's
yeah.
the three-way partnership.
Nice, yeah.
So all the municipal lands, the state lands, the county lands are all covered by it. So that we just wanted this memorandum, which is being presented, you mm-hmm. know, to be presented to the Environmental Commission members, with wanted to give the council members to see in case anybody has any concerns, let us know.
Well, we've done this in the past. I mean, it's not a new...
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Letting everyone know what's
yeah.
going on. That's
one of the things that I've noticed is a lot of the walkways that have been put down over the wetland areas, it gets really, really slippery when we have a period of rain like we've had.
Yeah.
And maybe some non-skid.
That's one of the things that they're doing. Yeah, I believe that's one of the part of the project is doing that.
Yeah, because it's really,
right.
really.
That's
there was discussion
shower.
About that
yeah.
and, when I was on the Environmental
yeah.
Commission about possible walnut shells and blue.
I think some sand type of thing that
some
can be put
sort of,
on it, something
yeah.
to give it a better, you know, more
some grit.
Slip grit.
Grit. You know, more
grit.
Yeah. Grit, yes. So something that gives it a texture that. You won't have people less likely to slip on.
So the money for the for the trail signs, is that coming from the grant as well as the punch-ins?
It says it's coming out of the trail from the trail memorial fund, and I guess whatever you know for the grant money
right, okay.
that we have as well. Yeah,
beautiful.
Between the two, of the funding source of the project will be presided out of the Woodland Trail Memorial Fund, which is money that Robert Phillip has collected.
Yeah.
So okay.
Thanks, Mike. Yep. Any old business from anyone at the table? Okay. New business. RAP has requested use of the Borough Hall in 2019 for February 2nd, March 23rd, April 20th, and May 11th. So
I'll move that.
To approve that?
Yep.
Second?
A second.
Did anybody look at the dates on the calendar? They're probably all weekends, I would imagine.
Yeah, Anna, that's what she does.
Yeah,
she checks the calendar.
Yeah. Okay, so can I do all in favor?
Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
And we come to public comment on any item. Deb?
Debbie Connors, 23, North Rochdale. I was just wondering if anybody followed up about Clarksburg Road and cutting the brush back.
Yeah, I took a drive down there. It has two like signs before the stop sign saying that there's a stop sign coming.
Yeah,
right?
Well, a lot of people don't pay attention. Like I said, two accidents in a couple weeks.
Yeah, well, I talked to Mike about it, and we got to get Greg over there to look at it.
Yeah, okay. Also, I'm a little confused, so I need somebody to help me with some clarification. If I remember rightly, the old firehouse, which is now the new DPW building, wasn't one of the bays condemned?
Well, that's because of the...
the mold issue and the leaking and all of that stuff, but...
Well, not mold so much as the broken corner, which
well,
is
there
part
was
of
quite
the structure
a few things.
Of the building.
Has that been rectified with the state for us to be in there? Because from what I remember, and one of the reasons why the fire department was told they had to get their stuff out was because it was condemned and nobody could go in. So if we have our DPW guys going in there, you know, has that been rectified as far as OSHA and everybody, all the state officials?
The far bay is the one that was condemned?
Yes.
And that's where the wall was poked?
Right.
And So the new roof will go on and that wall will get repaired.
But that's not being used. That
it's not being used.
Not being used.
And the state inspectors have looked at it too.
Yeah, and it's the beginning of all the repair and renovation.
Okay, but the question is, and I'm getting a tap dance here, have the state been in to say that we're not going to, continue with the condemnation of the building?
Yes.
And
the answer is yes. The state inspectors were in and they said that you can't use that section temporarily until you replace the section that was broken by the fire truck.
Once it's repaired, then they'll lift that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's
thank you.
All I had to ask. Thank you.
Did you go to California State?
My son did.
My sister did.
In Pennsylvania or California?
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's a little.
Just curious, I saw the T-shirt. Yeah.
Very interesting.
That's another area of confusion.
Right it is.
Yeah.
Right
bar there, by the way.
It's near Latrobe, I think, also.
Rolling Rock? Is that
Rolling
Rock?
Rolling Rock, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
Anyone else in the mic?
Funny this.
Just thought of something else. While we're on the subject of that intersection of Clarksburg and Umpster Lane. If we give some thought to the idea, something that I've been concerned about before as well, whether the borough could put in a stop sign coming down the hill, if that would make sense, because the main road is 571, people are making the turn.
And people fly down.
I mean, I suggested that before. Yeah. I think we referred to the county, and we never got a response from it. But I think it's on the borough road. It's not the county road. So maybe since we just put in an ordinance with a stop sign.
I personally think there should be a caution blinker there and a caution blinker at Oscar. I mean, just in and out of town, caution
Oscar
blinker.
And Oscar where?
In Marshdale. Yeah. I mean, just because they're coming around that turn and they're into town and like
Paradise Hill, they fly down.
They fly, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying if we put a stop sign, they'd have to stop at that instead of just going through and perhaps running into the face of traffic that might not
that would be
during the stop sign.
Stop
that they have to still be three-way stop at that point.
Yeah,
and we're doing stop signs.
Yeah, but years ago we had so little traffic in town it kind of didn't
matter.
Now,
traffic
in
town. That's right. Yeah.
Now there's just.
I think we should get the county to put one of those counters in to see what kind of traffic we actually have. This is the slow period. The summertime, people are on the way to Great Adventures from the Turnpike.
Well, isn't hunting season opening up?
And hunting season's opening. That's another reason.
Well, from what I understand, hunting, we have way less traffic in town for hunters, for people going to the beach, for people going to Great Adventure. They all use 195, and hunting licenses are way down. But nonetheless, there's way more cars. We never used to have that many delivery trucks.
Yeah.
Now we have UPS and FedEx and
just
all the kind of traffic that didn't exist years ago.
What I want to know is how come so many people come into Tamara coming down Clarksburg and instead of making the right to stay on 571, they just come straight.
Because
they
always
when they get
confused.
In front of my house that they realize that they screwed up.
Yeah, they're confused.
They don't know.
They
don't realize it.
I don't know what they're missing.
I mean, they don't realize that 571 goes
to the right.
If they don't see the sign saying 571 goes to the right.
Well, same thing coming the opposite way. If you don't know to make the left, you're going to go up Paradise Hill, right?
I've seen Jersey Central go up there.
Exactly, right.
No,
they probably wanted fruit. Paradise Produce.
Yeah.
No. It's like when we had power down. It's like in our
no,
was here watching
people don't
the
know
trucks.
Their way here.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. They don't know. So we need the county to help with stuff like that.
We could ask the county to help.
Yeah, right.
That's Joe Waltori. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Tori. I want to talk to her.
All right. We can.
Yeah. Okay.
Discuss.
And then something else I brought up before, that yield sign that's by your house, to move it down to the corner.
I thought that was an excellent suggestion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
talked to Dave Curtis or Greg about that. Yeah.
Because it's
kind of pointless in my house.
Pointless,
yeah.
Right, right.
Especially now with the stop sign.
I think we're figuring they would save some money and have one yield sign.
Take care of everything,
right? Which isn't the way yield signs work. Okay.
Anyone else from Jeff?
Mary Tellis, 21 Lake Drive. I was just going to suggest that maybe Joe, you could have a utility committee meeting, and hopefully Steve could come, and people who still have questions.
I just pissed Steve a note that I would like to know when he is available to meet with me and East Windsor.
Yes, I was going to
really
say, Rich
do that.
Could,
yes.
Yeah, I think yeah. that would be great, because yeah. I know I talked to him also about the pipe bursting thing, and he did not think that that was good. It would not work on those pipes that are very tuberculated and things like ours are. So just to, get everything kind of questions answered.
Yeah, I want to do more meetings and cha-cha-cha. So,
I think that would be good. And also, I have the same thing I was wondering about in terms of, percent of the town that is being covered. I think that if you count the households, maybe it was, 8 to 10%, because on the courts, the houses are all very close together.
Yeah.
But if you look at linear feet, I don't think it's 10%.
It's 10%. The linear feet is exactly 10%, including the courts. It's about, we have about 4.5 miles of pipe in this town.
Yeah.
And if you look at the, there's 5,820 feet per mile.
Mm-hmm.
So the
no, 5,280.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay,
dyslexic,
but anyway.
You know,
I was going to say.
So, so what we have is 2,700 feet of 8-inch pipe on the spec and 750-800 of 6-inch pipe for the courts. So the two of them come out to approximately 3/8 of a mile, and that's... So 3/8 of a mile, say half a mile, is about 10% of 4.5 miles.
Oh, because I thought you were saying a little bit ago that you didn't think it was
I think it's
much.
Less than, because I don't think it's 4,000 or 2,700 foot of homestead.
No.
I don't think so. And I just keep looking at these maps and just marking. And no, this is much less than 10%. It's like...
I thought maybe they were counting households.
To 110. No.
Yeah,
I was going by linear footage, and that's I think the linear footage is off. But that's why I look at the tape, and I'll know what the linear footage is, because the sewer pipe travels the road. So I just looked at a lot, but I didn't look at the footage at this point. So.
Okay. And I just wanted to say, I think the Borough Hall is looking very, very nice on the outside. I know it's
Stiffy.
Taking a lot of work out there, and it's looking... Yeah.
Your boys.
Not shabby anymore. It's
exactly,
looking really nice.
Yeah.
I always wonder if people actually notice, because sometimes you just drive by and it's rote, you don't look.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We have some
good.
New signs coming.
And there's landscaping. That's
landscaping.
Right.
New signs.
And new lighting, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
also possibly putting an awning over where the mural is to shield a light and to have more light on it.
Because there was a light on it originally. I don't know if it's there anymore.
It'd be better. We're talking about replacing a light and putting it under an awning and having it out a little bit so it'll shine more on the mural, because I think it's a really nice feature.
Gorgeous.
I'd like to see that.
You know, the town has so much beauty in it between nature and all the artists. It's a really unique, beautiful town. But the entranceway is it's awful. I mean, it's awful. So we're really trying to spruce up the Borough Hall, put in plantings,
do something
new signs.
Gas station.
You know, Anna and I are working on and demolish the gas station.
We have quotes on demolition.
We saved quotes already,
We have demolition quotes.
We have demolition quotes. So
great.
We just want to be able to be, you know what it's like when someone's coming to visit you who's never been here before. You're embarrassed at what it looks like when you pull in.
It's coming in,
We're working
Thanks,
on it.
Yeah, we're trying.
Looking good. Yep.
Thanks, Mary.
Okay, it's really good. Okay.
Can we put a light on the flag?
On the what?
On the flag.
On the flag.
Good idea.
It's
up 24/7.
Yeah.
And at night there should be a light on it. And I do have to agree with Mary. The place, it just looks so much better. And I just want to say thank you for that.
Mm.
But if we could please put a light on the flag.
You can buy a solar. So I had this problem in my town.
Yeah.
There was a flag at our park that wasn't
light.
Lit because after Sandy the light fell down.
Yep.
You can buy a solar light that attaches to the pole that shines up. That'll charge itself and it'll just run itself. And they're actually relatively inexpensive.
Yeah.
If you look at there's a flagpole store at Route 34 South, at Wall. They have them there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard to find. You probably ordered online.
I don't know.
You have to go through the procedures in the back for paying the money.
That is really...
That was the solution I found in my town without wiring a new light
right,
and all that sort of stuff. And we took down the flag.
The giant flag out in the pole in the front on 34 and DeWall you're talking about? Or
that's where the flag store is. Yeah. They have flag poles. They have all kinds of stuff there. If you went there, you can find it. Because we had the same problem in our town. We didn't want to pay an electrician. The wire was like $8,500 or something. So we bought the light. I think it was a few hundred bucks. Mm-hmm. But it's worked ever since. It's worked pretty nicely.
And the flag store is?
I believe they got it at the flag store on 34 and Wall.
I just texted Greg DeFoe.
Yeah, Anne is really good at that, too. Right. We can also ask Anne.
Good.
No, we can take care of that.
Ours was right across from the VFW, so we heard about it the first night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Not surprised.
Well, rightly so. You can't buy the flag.
Yeah.
Not a public building.
Jeff Klein, 21 Homestead Lane. First, I'd just like to say, for me, this is unbelievable. This is the greatest thing that I could ever see.
What is?
You guys discussing it, opening this issue to the public over and over again to get feedback, looking at it from every different angle, getting quotes, looking at it from letting people ask questions, and then having a reasonable discussion among yourselves on what to do. Holding it off till the next meeting because Steve has some further questions, even though people do want you to vote. I mean, you got to make a decision at some point. But for me, I don't care about the gigantic politics. I mean, I do. I enjoy them. But for me, this is where it all is. This is the greatest thing. I can't get enough of this.
Democracy
the way you
in
guys
action.
This is democracy in action. You guys are our council. You take care of it. You look at it. I think you've treated the public with immense respect. I'm very disappointed there's more people are not here to take part in this, but you'll make your decision when the time comes, and it's good to see that you guys are making a really solid, educated vote on this. From I know some people believe this or that on the council, but you really looked at it from a lot of different angles, including from below ground even now to that point. No, I'm really to that extent
you've
gone to that
extent.
This is how far you've gone, and. In reference to what Steve said, I kind of in full agreement. I mean, who is giving this grant that they're so short-sighted for a municipality that is a historic society or a historic municipality that you have an open trench with a pipe here and a pipe there? So I'm a little confused on that. That's
government.
Actually,
it's called government.
I know, but it's not municipal government because the grant is coming from somebody that says you're only dedicated to the water pipe. We don't care about the sewer pipe, which is I don't quite understand that. That makes no sense to me, and it hasn't since
it's the source of the fund.
I know there's
so the water comes from the federal government. There's a whole program, especially post 9/11, that fortifies the drinking water resources, especially after Flint. It's been re-energized.
Right.
But the sewer problem, the federal government views as a local environmental issue. So they charge the low,
it's a state issue, a state budget.
They consider
it a
state issue, not the same.
It's ludicrous.
Like I said,
it's giant politics.
Flint gets attention.
It's a
right.
Big
and I don't know if there's a way to overcome that in any aspect because of historic nature of the town or anything.
Every
to merge the two in any aspect whatsoever because it's ludicrous that, like he said, that you're open and you can't do both at the same time because this federal government and the state government are at odds, and it's going to cost another such and such amount of money. Sure. And also that I understand there's no problem areas, but the money that's offset by the road, and again, it's from you're very persuasive, even what you're talking about is that even though there's no problem areas, any money saved by doing it from the road while it's open. Is just done at that time. If there's another burst on Pine Drive during that time, then you still have to fix that. So it could still theoretically, over the time frame of the laying of the pipes, could still be $2 million in emergency funds needed anyway. So I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. I know you guys have done a great job. I really do. And I wish you the best with your decision. I really do. I'm glad I'm not watching it from the public. I'm glad I'm not sitting in your seats under this. It's too much fun.
I thank
you very much for really think you have the public's best interest at heart. And I personally appreciate it, even though I don't own a home here and et cetera. But I'm looking to buy a house possibly. I'd certainly take all this into the future.
Well, you're a lifelong
resident.
I mean,
they're getting more expensive all the time.
Yeah, what's going to happen.
But also, Jeff, I just want to say that in the past,
We have gone to the government, you know, to plead our case. We're historic. We should have some possibly special consideration. And they're very nice, and they say, we'd love to, but we don't have it.
Such
we can't
a cute
give it
little
to
town.
Yeah, can't do
it's
it.
It's like a doctor going and opening up, you know, knowing there's a problem with a vein, and they're next to each other and saying, well, I could only work on this. I'm sorry, but this one's going to kill you. But
I'm back
can't
next
work
month.
On it. It's, yeah. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
If it's the way
yeah.
it is.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do it.
Yeah.
You just need the money, right?
So anyway, thank
they're
you.
Also, they're not, I, also, I just want to make I doubt they're laying next to each other. Because there are different elevations, just the pipes. Because the one works on gravity and
yeah.
one works on water pressure.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
the water pipe is dead straight down the road, but the gravity vein in
pipe.
Some places, I don't know how deep it is where, but
this is the high point also. This
yeah.
is the high point. So it's the beginning of the sewer lines for the town.
Running downhill the other way.
Running downhill from Homestead.
Oh, okay. Oh, so they're the cheapest sewer pipes you'll ever replace in the whole town.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Uh-huh. But if they're all this bad, then it sucks. You know, and this is also the beginning of the water pipes from the water tower. That's where gravity and pressure feed from also. So these should be the best pipes in town in any case. But we got what
theoretically,
we got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cha-cha-cha. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Close the public portion at 9:16. We don't need a... closed session.
To make a motion to adjourn and to thank the public for their input.
Second?
I'll second that and thank the public also.
And what's next? My mind's going now. All in favor.
Aye.
To adjourn.
To
adjourn,
right.
Time out.
Adjourned at
9:16.
17:16.